looking at what we often call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, maybe better called the disciples' prayer. I got a handout that's coming around. If you haven't received one yet, it will get to you. This is your worksheet for tonight. Follow along, keep you awake, fill in the blanks, and plenty of space on the right there to take any other notes that you want to about this. But I want to make this class as practical as it can be. And when you talk about the topic of prayer, it's already pretty practical. You need some more, Nobel? When you talk about prayer, you already have a practical topic. When it comes to your prayer life, I want you to think about your prayer life. How often do you pray? And I'm not talking about before meals, and I'm not saying those don't count because they do, and we need to pray before our meals. But besides praying before a meal, and maybe we should talk about do you pray before a meal, but besides praying before a meal, how often do you pray? Not often enough. Think in your own mind, how often do I pray? Do I pray every week? I'll start there. Do I pray every day? Do I pray more than once a day? When I sit down to pray, meaning when I take the time to stop the world, to stop everything that's going on, and I hope we do this, and if we don't, we need to. When I take the time to stop and to sit down and to pray, what do I do? What do I do? Do you have a prayer list? Do you have a list that you use? It's okay to open your eyes when you pray, by the way. Do you have a prayer list? If you don't, I would encourage you to have one. And what I want to do with these 8 points tonight is to help us make the outline of a prayer list. Do you have a prayer list that when you sit down, you know ahead of time what you're going to pray about because you have thought about it ahead of time? If you were going to address Congress, if you were going to address the president, if you were going to address and stand before any group of people and make a speech, would you do some preparation in advance before you did that? If you were going to speak to the creator of this universe, will you make some preparation in advance? We ought to. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray spontaneously. And we need to pray spontaneously. But in addition to spontaneity and praying without ceasing, at any moment being able to call out upon our God, which is the right and the privilege that we have, we need to stop, we need to sit down, we need to pray. Now, what do we do when we do that? I want us to use Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, this model prayer. The parallel to this over in Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to Jesus, and this is what they say to Jesus: Lord, teach us to pray. Did Jesus know anything about praying? Oh, yes. Would you like to pray like Jesus prayed? Would you like to be taught how to pray the way that Jesus prayed? Notice that this is not a what to pray, but it is a how to pray. When Jesus answered their question, both in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus says, in this manner, not in these words, in this manner pray. Here's the model, here's the pattern, here's the tip. This is not a script. Jesus never said this was a script. He said, here is how to pray. And if I'm going to get through all 8 of these, then we're going to have to get to them. But I want us to take this prayer, to analyze it, to look at the parts of this prayer that we find, and I want each of us, when we leave here, to make a decision that we're going to start putting these things into our prayer life. Number one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus begins prayer. Somebody read the first 2 lines of this prayer. Just one person, because if everybody does it at the same time like you just did, it's just really confusing. First two lines of the prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first part of our prayers needs to be expressing a deep reverence, respect, and praise for God. Notice how he addresses God. I'd love to spend time talking about the fact that he addresses God as our Father. He addresses him as our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Holy be your name. What does that mean? Set apart be your name. What does that mean? Nothing like it. You remember what one of the Ten Commandments was about the name of God? Thou shalt what? Not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why? Because it's holy. Holy is his name. When we address God, how do we need to address God? We need to address him as the Almighty Creator of this universe. Notice the end of the prayer. Look down in verse 13, how he ends the prayer. And if, well, I forgot I had this one in here. He talks about his kingdom. If we pray about his kingdom, what does that make God? He's the one sitting on the throne. Look at the end of the prayer. New American Standard, doesn't have this line. New King James, has it. God, yours is the kingdom. God, yours is the power. Not anybody else's and not mine. Yours is the power. God, yours is the glory. Not anybody else's. Just yours. When we come before God, we need to praise God because he is worthy of our praise. Back up for just a minute. Sometimes when we think about the idea of stopping everything, taking time to pray, you know, I think some of us may not do it and do it as often as we should because we think it requires a lot of time. Now, is it wrong to devote a lot of time to prayer? No. But notice how brief this prayer is. How long, this is not a script, but how long would it take you to read through this prayer? Would it take you less than a minute? Yes. Even if you read slow like me, it'll be less than a minute. What does that mean about our prayer life? When we stop everything and sit down to pray, do we have to devote minutes and minutes and hours and hours? I hope that sometimes we will. When we're praying, we're talking to God. Are we drawing closer to God? We want to draw closer to God. Let's spend more time with him. But when we pray to God, it's not required that these be long, flowing prayers. But when we do pray, we need to address him with reverence. We need to call upon him and praise him for who he is. That's our first point. So how do I begin a prayer? Well, I ought to begin my personal prayers, those prayers where I stop everything, I ought to begin them with more than just, "Dear God." I ought to start them, and you can start them any way you want. Loving Father, listen to Jerry Hopkins pray. I don't know that I've ever heard Jerry Hopkins pray without saying, "Loving Father," the beginning of his prayer. Figure out how you, and you don't have to address God the same way every time, obviously, but address God with a deep sense of reverence. Number two, we need to come before God with a genuine submission before him. Look at what the next lines say. The next lines say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's submission. This is one of those things about the Bible and about Christianity. It's one of these things that's hard to grasp. We are to come before God with submission, and yet the Bible also tells us to come before God with boldness. How do you do that? How do you come before God with boldness, and how do you come before, at the same time, come before Him with submission? Richard?
I was going to say the same way my kids came and asked me for something.
Same way your kids came and asked you for something. They were bold when they asked. They asked you because you were the one who had it. Confidence. 1 John chapter 5, it's not in any of these slides, but 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. If I know that, I can be bold, I can be confident when I come before Him, and yet I submit to Him. Did Jesus submit to Him when He prayed? In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus says, Lord, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. If it's your will, just like James said to pray, if it's the Lord's will, that's exactly how Jesus prayed. But nevertheless, if it's not your will, then let your will be done. What does it take to pray that? God, here's what I would like. If it's your will, please let this happen. Nevertheless, get me out of the way. Let your will be done. Richard?
James also said, you have not because you ask not.
That's right. James also said earlier in that same chapter, you have not because you ask not. So, and James said earlier in that book, James chapter 1 and verse 5, let him ask in faith without doubting. We come before God, we need to come with a faith that He hears us, a faith that He knows what we need even before we ask it, and to ask Him, but to do so with a deep sense of submission before Him. Sometimes that's not easy to do, but notice how we're coming before Him. Our Father which art in heaven, we are His children, and just as Richard said, children go to their parents and ask them for things. Because usually, at least when they're in those early ages, you know, when they get older, apparently they don't need the parents as much. Hopefully we as Christians don't grow out of our need for God. But children grow out of their need for their parents. But when they're young, they need them. Actually, I'm jumping ahead. Let's go to number three. This is what we're talking about. When we pray to God, we need to convey to God our utter dependence upon Him. That we utterly depend upon Him, not just for our physical, but for our spiritual means. Or you could say, not just for our spiritual means, but for our physical means. Notice what you have four times, at least four times in this prayer. Father, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Why? Because we can't do it ourselves. God, the old song says, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. When you pray to God, do you pray that? Here's Jesus' model prayer, and He says, when you pray to God, you pray, God, give us, because we can't do it ourselves. Forgive us, because we can't do it ourselves. Don't lead us this way because we're going to tend to go that way. Deliver us because we can't do it ourselves. When we pray to God, utter dependence upon Him. Is there anybody in the Bible, when you hear that phrase, hear that concept in our prayer lives to express utter dependence, anybody in the Bible you think of that exemplifies that? Anybody? Did David express his utter dependence upon God? Who? Job. Who'd somebody say?
Paul.
We have a lot of examples when you come to Scripture of those who took themselves out of the way, said, Lord, I cannot do this without You. Is the Christian life hard to live? Are there struggles, difficulties, bumps in the road? Lord, I cannot do this without You. I need you. And I'm totally dependent upon you for all things in my life. Look at what else we see in this prayer. We see that we have a right to make our requests to God. When it comes to our prayer life, I would guess, and I'd probably be right, that this is our prayer life right there, number four. It's the requests. There's nothing wrong with that because we have the right to make requests. Look at what this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Isn't this redundant to say, give us this day our daily bread? What does that indicate about how often we are to pray? At least every day, right? Because if I don't, am I going to get my daily bread? This shows a regularity to our prayers, but it also recognizes that I need to ask God to take care of me. I have a right to make requests of the Creator and the Sustainer of this universe. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it's one of my favorite verses, probably one of your favorites. New King James says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for how much? How much should I be concerned about things, worry about things? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything. So there's nothing I need to be anxious about. And everything else, which would be everything but the nothing. And everything by prayer and supplication. What does this word mean? We see it a lot in the New Testament. By prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Sorry?
Asking.
Asking what? You see a word in this, if you were to cut off the cation, what would you have left? We are asking God to supply those needs that we have. Do we have a need for bread? Do we have a need? Who's going to fill that need? Who has the power to fill that need? Have you ever thought, well, I'm not going to pray about this because this just seems silly to pray about. I don't really know that I need to pray to God about this. Let's be realistic. How many of the things that we are dealing with would you think on an eternal, supernatural level are silly? Everything. When it comes to the Creator of this universe who's done everything by His... Everything that we deal with in comparison is minute. So who are we to judge whether something would be silly to God or not? God says, in how much? In only the big things let your request be made known unto God? And only those things that you can't handle, let those be made known unto God? In everything let your request be made known unto God. How often do we do that? How often do we depend upon God for everything? I think sometimes we have the mentality, well, you know, I can take care of that one. I won't bother God with that one. I've got that one covered. You're going to have it covered the next time? Is it going to be taken care of just automatically the next time? Aren't you glad that we have a right to ask God for things? Where would you be if you couldn't ask God for things? What is it that we ask God for on a daily basis? Or on a regular, maybe not daily, but on a regular basis. What are some examples of things that we ask God for?
Forgiveness.
Mickey? Okay. Did you say health?
Safety.
Safety? You ever get on the road and pray for safety? Your children ever get on the road and you pray for safety? Trudy?
Thank you for a place to stay.
Okay. For a place to stay. You still have a place to stay, Trudy? Okay. Just checking. You better be praying about that, Trudy. I've heard rumors, you know, they might be, I don't know. What do we pray for? The sick? Did you ever pray to God when you were sick? What was your request? Lord, can you make me better next week? Is that what you asked? Last night would have been good, Lord. Do you think God has the power to take care of all of these things that we ask of Him? Yeah, every bit of it. Now, here's the cool part of it. Well, there's a lot of cool parts about prayer. But I want you to think about this one. It's not just that we make requests for ourselves. Prayer is not intended to be selfish only. Where in this prayer, in the model prayer, where does it say, where does Jesus say, pray for others? Us. Does he say, well, I'll come back to that in a second. Does he say what? Give me? Notice how he starts the prayer. Does he say, my Father which art in heaven? Our Father. Does he say, give me? Forgive me? Lead me? It's all about us. He's praying for others. Who do we need to pray for? We need to pray for everybody. We need to pray for the church as a whole. Go back to how we started the class. How often do we pray? And when you stop the world and you pray, how often do you pray for the Lord's church? Did Jesus say pray for the church? Did Jesus say pray about the kingdom, for the kingdom? We need to pray for the church. How often do you pray for the elders? How often do you pray for the deacons? How often do you pray for the preachers? I would beg of you to do it every day. Amen. And I would beg of you to do it by name. God might forget that I'm one of the preachers here, okay? So if you would call me by name, it would help me out. But you have no idea how encouraging it is when somebody says, I'm praying for you. Do you have any idea how encouraging that is? Yes, because somebody said it to you before, haven't they? I'm praying for you. Is there anything better than that? No. Pray not just for the, but pray for individual church members. We just spent, as we do every Wednesday night, a time in family prayer. There's a reason that we continue to have card after card turned in on Wednesday nights. You know what that reason is? It's because everybody wants everybody to know what else is going on in their life. Is that the reason they turn these cards in? No. It's because we know there's power in prayer. And we call these individuals by name. You need to call individuals by name. When you pick up your announcement sheet on Sunday mornings, you need to take that home and pray for them by name. When you hear about things that are happening, pray for the church as a whole. Pray for the church's leaders. But pray for individual brothers and sisters in Christ. Take your directory. And on Sunday, pray for page 1. On Monday, pray for page 2. On Tuesday, pray for page 3. Call them by name. Even if you don't know who they are. Even if you don't know that they need a certain thing in prayer. Do we all need prayer? What do we need to avoid in prayer? Go back up in Matthew chapter 6. We need to avoid just some vain repetitions. We don't need to pray for people just to pray for people. But we need to pray because our heart is truly in it. We need to intercede on behalf of others. Pray for those who are lost. Do we need to pray for our president? Uh-huh. Do we need to pray for our leaders of our country? Yes. Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, first of all, that supplications, prayers, what does this word here right mean? What does intercessions mean? It means this verb up here to intercede. That I get in the middle of what's happening. What is this? 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think about in verse 5 of this, is where it talks about there's one mediator between God and man. Another word that's used instead of mediator over in the book of Hebrews to refer to Jesus is that He is our intercessor. He's the go-between. I need to be the go-between for you. I need to pray to God for you. Let supplications, prayers, intercessions be made, Paul says, for all men. That's not just talking about men and not women. That's for everybody that we need to be praying. And he goes on to say specifically, making sure we are praying for kings and for those who are in authority. David? David's talking about our next point. This is what we need in our prayers. It's not here in this sermon, or it's not here in this model prayer. Perhaps you could obviously make something to imply that it's there, but it's throughout the rest of the New Testament for sure. And David's right, because he's saying what the New Testament is telling us to do, and that is we need to be thankful to God, as David said, when we see answered prayers. We're quick to ask for things. We're slow to give thanks for things. Sometimes we're slow to give thanks because, how do you say this? Because we are not as conscious of these things being answered. We just come to expect them to be answered, and when they're answered, it's just normal. Yep, there it is, and we just keep right on going without realizing, hey, that was God answering my prayer. We need to give thanks for everything and in everything. And that boggles our minds. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says that we are to give thanks always for all things. Do you do that? Do we give thanks all the time? Not very well. Do we give thanks for all things? You know what that includes? That doesn't just say give thanks for all good things. That's easy to do. Thank you for the ice cream. Thank you for the chocolate on top of the ice cream. Thank you for the whipped cream on top of the chocolate on top of the ice cream. That's easy to pray. Give thanks always for all things. In everything, give thanks. We've got to change the way we think about things in order to do that. We've got to change the way we see things in order to do that. Think about the fact that in that same passage where we saw in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, where it said, first of all, that supplications, prayers, it also says, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's hard to do. There's some people we're not thankful for, right? Your laughter indicates you agree. There's some people we're not so thankful for. But God says, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And it goes on to talk about those who are in authority. I have a hard time being thankful for my president. But God tells me to be thankful. Doesn't mean I don't pray that he'll change some of his policies. Doesn't mean that I don't pray that he'll change some of the directions he's headed. But I need to be thankful. I need to be thankful that I have a president and not a dictator. A lot of things that we need to be thankful for, and I just put a slew of other verses down here, and I wish we had time to include them. But when we pray, we need to carve out a portion of our prayer. If we take these eight things, and what I would encourage you to do, in case I don't get to say this at the end of class, what I would encourage you to do is to take whatever size sheet of paper works for you. Some people have a little mini sheet of paper that they keep in their wallet or keep in their purse. I don't carry a purse, but you know, maybe you do. Maybe you're one of those kind of people that carries a purse. But some people keep a little mini paper on themselves that when they think of something they need to pray for, they write it down on their prayer list. If somebody asked you to pray for them, do you say, yep, I'll pray for you, and then you forget about it? Or have you ever written a card to somebody or sent an email or told somebody on the phone, hey, I'm praying for you. Are you really? Or do we just say that because we, Honestly, we don't know anything else to say, and that is the best thing you can say. But are you really praying for them? Have you written their name down so that you pray? And when you pray for somebody on the announcement sheet or on the family prayer list or whatever, when you pray for them, God help them to get better, be with their family, whatever. And when that happens, do they slide down on your prayer list into the Thanksgiving part of it? Or do they just vanish? Oh, that one's taken care of. We'll mark that one through and get on to the next one. I would encourage you to not necessarily have a mini sheet, but keep a mini sheet on you, but have some kind of a prayer list where you have these 8 things that are marked out. And you may think of different ways that you want to reverence God. You may think of different ways that you want to reveal your submission to God. And for sure, we're going to be adding things on to these lists here. But we're talking to God. There's nothing more important than we can, that no more important person we can talk to, no more important thing we can do in our day than to talk to God and have a list to help us to do it. 2 more. We also have mentioned this one, but Jesus mentions it specifically. We need to plead for forgiveness. Notice what Jesus says. Forgive us our debts, and then I've underlined this little word, forgive us as we forgive. I know that we pray, probably the thing we pray more often than anything else is for God to forgive us. And that's good. We need to pray for God to forgive us. You might think about, instead of it being at the end of your prayer, you might think about putting it up at the beginning of your prayer. But that's a personal thing. But notice what Jesus says. Father, forgive me. Do you ever pray this? Father, forgive me as I forgive so-and-so. Whew, that puts a whole different twist on it, doesn't it? But look in verses 14 and 15 where Jesus says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Father, forgive me as I forgive others. That will change your heart. If you pray that, you plead to God to forgive you, and then you say, as I forgive so-and-so, boy, that'll change the way you treat so-and-so. That'll change your heart. Remember the man in Luke chapter 18? God, this was his whole prayer. Publican, you know, he had a lengthy prayer about himself. Here's this guy, or the Pharisee did. Here's the publican. Publican says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's not a bad prayer just by itself. God, be merciful. Pleading for forgiveness. There's a lot of other passages that we could talk about. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 is a good one. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Part of our prayers need to be pleading to God to forgive us. And then finally, what Jesus puts at the end of this prayer is that we need to appeal to God for guidance. Notice what He says. Do not lead us into temptations. Is God going to do that? Is God going to lead you into temptation? No, James chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14 say that's not possible. He doesn't do that. So what is this praying? God, give me the strength to not go down these road of temptation. Do not lead us into temptations, but do what? Deliver us from the evil one. Will God do that? Will He lead us into temptation? No. Will He deliver us from the evil one? Yes. Will He provide the way of escape? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13? Absolutely. We need to beg Him to do that. Plead and appeal to God. God, lead. You remember, and I'm going to put this phrase up here in a second when you say it. How did we used to end all of our public prayers? 3 G words. Guide, guard, and direct us. You know, that's not so bad. That's what Jesus is saying. God, guide me, guard me, direct me. That's not 3 G words, that's 3 G's and a D. I knew I had it messed up in there somewhere. But you know, some people aren't real good at spelling, so that could be correct or direct. That's not bad to pray. God, protect me from the devil. God, help me not to go down that path. Who said it? Somebody said we need to pray before we do something. We pray after we do. We need to pray before we do something. God, and this I put this up. This is my version of this prayer. Four words that are prayed a lot. God, please help me. Help me with this decision. Help me know what to do here. God, please help me teaching this class, preaching this lesson. God, please help me deal with this person. God, please help me know how to answer this question when they ask it. God, please help me. If we will put that into our hearts and into our prayer lives, it is appealing to God. God, please guide me. Don't lead me into temptation. Help me to overcome. Help me to be delivered from the evil one, because yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. I hope this has been helpful for you, and I hope that we will all take it and make a prayer life as a regular part of our days. Thank you for your attention tonight.